by Bob and Jennifer DeRoit in honor of Emma's 12th and Sophie's 10th birthday. The flowers are provided by Elizabeth and Damon Strimple in honor of Taylor and Briley's birthday and graduation. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. I have a few announcements. Children's Night Out is scheduled for Monday, June 13th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. They will be watching a movie yet to be announced. Ages 4 to 12 can participate. Parents, if your kids really need time away from you, please bring them down to 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour, for a couple of hours. I'm sure they will enjoy the break. Our next community meal is scheduled for Saturday, June 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. If you need a free meal or just don't want to cook that night, please come and get a free meal and warm communication here at Trinity United Methodist. Finally, attention all children from ages preschool to fifth grade. Trinity United Methodist is joining with First United Methodist Church to have Vacation Bible School. It will be June 20th through June 23rd from 5:30 to 8 p.m. here at Trinity, 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Come join us in discovering Jerusalem.
Very short message for us on tribulations and trials.
Okay, so I just wanted to talk today about trials and struggles. And, you know, we all have trials and struggles. And it seems that if you're serving God, that a lot of times they seem never ending. And so, you know, most of you know I hurt my back. And I've been down, I haven't been to work in over 3 weeks now, and that's the first time that's ever happened to me. And usually I'm, I'm the kind of person that just does everything myself. And it's been a little humbling because now I've had to rely a lot more on my wife, you know, just to do even the little things. For the first few days, I couldn't walk at all. And so it just, you know, goes to show that even in the struggles, God is working on you. You know, God calls us to have faith that He will carry us through our struggles. And that doesn't mean that faith stops the struggles from happening. It doesn't make them go away. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, constant in prayer." I just want to put a lot of emphasis on prayer. Prayer is quite possibly one of the most important things in our lives because that's how we create and maintain a relationship with God. How many times, you know, I go, I can't find a solution to a problem, so I go and I go in prayer and I ask, and it seems like sometimes it's an epiphany that goes off, or if I can't figure it out, it seems like a solution just presents itself. You know, the phone rings and, oh my goodness, there's, you know, suddenly there's a solution to my problem. So God calls us not only to bear tribulation, but to do it in happiness. In Acts, Peter and John, they're thrown in jail for preaching in the temple. And they're praising all night long. And at midnight, an angel comes and he releases them. But they don't leave because they leave the jail, but they just go right back to the temple because that's what God told them to do. And they got arrested again. And so they're brought before the council. And the council, you know, they decide it would be too much trouble with the people if they punished them more. But they did beat them. So it's not that they got off scot-free. And when they left, which I think is the most important part of this whole thing, is Acts 40 through 41. It says, "When they called the apostles and had beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were happy that they had got thrown in jail and got beaten because they had done it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so when we have trials and struggles, and if we are working for God, we should be happy in our tribulation because God is with us and God will carry us through it. So if you're having trouble, it just means God is working on you. And if the devil's beating on you, it just means God is working through you. So stay steadfast, and the blessing is coming.
All right. Amen. Something that I'll have to learn to get a little better at is being happy while going through those trials. And now, Jesse and Jeremy have a song for us that I think you'll recognize. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, Nothing But the Blood. That's right. We switched to Nothing But the Blood, but you'll recognize that one as well. And please feel free to sing along with it.
Hello?
Okay.
All right.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And in it. Jeremy will be reading this morning from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31, and the message is titled Blinders.
And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. Only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears.
Thank you, Jeremy. Loggerhead turtles lay their eggs among the sand dunes, and the little baby turtles dig their way up through the sand and they head straight for the seawater. It is a hunger born deep within them that seeks the seawater, for it is life, even living water. If they don't find it, they will die. But if they find it, they will live to be over 100 years old and weigh well over 600 pounds. However, if a little sea turtle gets sidetracked, say they fall into the moat of a little sandcastle alongside of the beach, it goes around and around and around, and it gets distracted and it gets disorientated and it dies. Born deep within all of us is a hunger for living water as well. God created us to be fed by the bread of life and nurtured by the springs of living water, the one God that we know through Jesus Christ. Most folks have the idea deep inside of them that religion is a duty. It is an obligation, one that they must do if they want to go to heaven. And nothing, beloved, could be further than the truth. It's not about being here because your grandma and grandma or your mother or father were here, or because society says you should be here. It's about having a one-on-one relationship with our living God, the living water, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. The little sand turtles seek the water like they're wearing a kind of blinders, but the blinders get in the way too. Blinders work well for horses, but not so well for humans and not so well for little sea turtles. They can't see when or where they've gotten sidetracked. They can't see if they're grasping and reaching for life or if they've been distracted and going round and round and swirling down the drain into death. I hate it when I'm looking for something. Have you ever been looking for something and you can't find it? The other day I was walking around, I'm like, where are my glasses? And my friend Jan says, Angel? I'm like, I'm trying to find my glasses, just a minute. Angel, they're on your head. I hate it when I'm looking for something and I can't find it. Maybe I'm looking straight at it. Maybe there's some trick or perception that makes it to where I don't see it. Or maybe I'm just striving too hard to find it, and that keeps me from seeing it. Usually it takes someone else coming alongside of me to point it out when I can't see it. And you know what? Just like my friend Jan said, if it was a snake, it would have bit you. This morning, Jesse talked about blessings for the kids, for their children's message. The Lord hides blessings for his people right in plain sight of them. But all they can do is scratch their head and say, "What is it? I don't understand, God." People regularly complain to God for this, that, and the other thing. I want this. I need that. I need more of. And amazingly, God responds to his complaining people by blessing them. And then the people are left looking straight at the blessing, or it's sitting on top of their head, and they don't see it. Limiting the field of vision, that is, putting on blinders, works well on horses, but not so well on people. For it is only when we take off our blinders, our spiritual blinders, that all of the blessings that the Lord has given to us begin to reveal themselves. The blessings were always there. It was us who could not see them. God offers us an unlimited field of vision. We have only to take off our blinders. It is what you learn after what you know that really counts. It is a kind of blinders. The reading from Acts is Luke's report of Paul's address to Athens. It echoes some of the things that Paul says in Romans. Visiting the Athens on Mars Hill, Paul sees the altar and an unknown God, and he notes that they are very religious, but they have very little faith. So he uses it as an object lesson to teach them more about faith. Here's this altar dedicated to the unknown God, and he says, "I see here that you do have religion. But I don't think you know what having deep faith means. I think sometimes we're all caught in having religion and not knowing what deep faith means. Deep faith is knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God will indeed take care of us, whether or not we think we have everything in store or not. Our Creator God, the one true God, bars no one. As God's children, all of humanity is welcome to the altar of God." There's a religious cartoon entitled Pontius Puddle. In one installment, he looks up at heaven and says, "I wonder if God really listens to what I say." And the next frame has him praying, "Hey God, what should I do with my life?" And then the next frame is the one that gets me. There's a thunderous voice from heaven that says, "Feed the hungry, right injustice, and work for peace." In the final frame, Pontius sheepishly, says, "Just testing." And then you hear the voice from heaven replying, "So was I. Will we pass that test? To feed the hungry, to right injustice, to work for peace?" If we were sea turtles, Paul would say, "Keep your eyes on the water and don't get distracted by those sandcastles. Take the blinders off and look at the big picture, the eternal view. God has given us the sea. Don't seek only the sandcastles." You know people who get distracted by sandcastles. We call this a gimme religion. You know, the Santa Claus type religion. I want this, I want that, I want this, I need that. Lord, money's a little tight this month, help me. Oh God, please let my Uncle Joe be all right through the surgery. God, I don't talk to you very much, I know, but I know that you're always there. And right now, I could really use your help. God, why did this happen to me? Where are you? Why did you let this happen? Is it wrong to seek Jesus for what we get out of it? Is it wrong to seek Jesus for something to fill our needs, to feed our emptiness, to promise us heaven when we die? If such selfish motives get people to heaven, they can't be all that bad. In this sense, religion is striving for God, while Christianity is the event of God striving for us. For really, the only answer Jesus gives is that he gives himself, and that is our complete example. If you don't have the comfort of having a fully stocked refrigerator, money in the bank, you may find it even harder to trust God that he will provide for you for the next day. And even if you have a fully stocked refrigerator and freezer, plenty of money in the bank, stocks and bonds that are maturing, and you have all of the safety you need, you will still come to a point in time in life where you are praying, please God, be there for me. Please God, be there for Uncle Joe. Please God, I know I don't talk to you very often, but I really do know that you're there and I need you. Please God, be there for me. And indeed, he is. C.S. Lewis confesses in his book, Surprised by Joe, that as surprised by joy, that as a young man, he came to church seeking the manifestations of powerful spiritual experiences, signified by a tingle down the spine. You know, I call these manifestations God bumps. Anytime you're in church, anytime you're somewhere else and God gets brought up and you break out in goosebumps for no reason whatsoever, I call that a God thing happening. C.S. Lewis called it manifestations, and other people call it a fullness. We don't need to dig for it or run to it, because if we could find it on our own, we wouldn't really need it. After all, we have to trust that God will indeed send it. Real food, real provision, God's love, and God's wonderful purposes for everyone. It's pretty heady stuff, and we can't take it on all at once. But this is the bread of heaven. This is the water of life. This is the bread of heaven that satisfies us deeply. That which Christianity is all about, letting go of this world and latching on to God through Jesus Christ. So much so that he becomes the way for us to go. In fact, the way and the destination itself. Just like those little sea turtles trying to crawl up to the sea for the living water, we are crawling up to God, experiencing Jesus Christ within us, because we know that that water is life. That water will indeed sustain us through our lives. That water will indeed comfort us when Joe is in the hospital, when there is no food in the refrigerator, when we have our last paycheck and our place of employment closes. Those are the only things that can sustain us, is that living water, that bread of life from heaven. Always look straight to the water, to this bread, but not with blinders on, so that we see the distractions, the sandcastles and the moats. Look to the blessings and to the fullness as you have experienced God, and know that he is yours and that no striving is necessary. And remember that with every breath that we have, we are to praise God. I'm not as good about it as my brother Jeremy is. He did that little message yesterday in the park, and I looked around and saw a lot of people with tears in their eyes. We are called to praise God, to let everything we have, every part of our being, praise him through the good times and through the bad. Our response, thing that has breath, praise God.
Everything that has breath. Praise you when I'm laughing. Praise you when I'm grieving. Praise you every season of the soul. If we could see how much your worth, your power, your might, your endless love, then surely we would never cease to pray.
Yeah.
As we depart from here, let us bury deep within our souls that He is with us every hour, every moment, every day, and that we have nothing to fear. And all God's people said, Amen.